This is Between the Buttons. I'm Ian Green here at Escalite in Sydney, and I'm talking to Glenda Cox from the Centre for Educational Technology at the University of Cape Town. Hi, Glenda.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, well, I'm good, but how are you? You've come a very long way to give a paper here today.
Yes, I have, all the way from Cape Town. I have a very good friend in Sydney, so I like to come to Sydney and visit her for a while and do a little bit of work as well.
So that's wonderful. And you've been telling us about a series of innovation grants that you've been giving out at the Centre for Educational Technology, and you've been doing some survey work into how well they've been sustained and what are the conditions for sustaining them. But maybe, perhaps firstly, tell us a little bit about your work at the Centre for Educational Technology there. And I guess what a lot of our audience want to know is where is kind of e-learning and educational technology up to in South Africa, Cape Town in particular? World standard? Are you struggling? Are you leading the pack?
Well, we like to think we're leading the pack.
Of course, yes. But tell us why.
Well, the Centre for Educational Technology is, in its current form, has been around since 2005. But before that, we had a unit called the Multimedia Education Unit since around about 99. So we've been around quite a while. We have a number of innovative areas. In South Africa, one of our big needs is mobile learning. So we have an expert in podcasting, which is what we're doing right now.
Watch out.
His name is Dickon Gumby, and he is invited to various conferences all around the world on mobile technology. And mobile is a very big issue in Africa, especially. Everybody has a phone, but most people don't have computers or access to computers. So finding mobile solutions is very important to us. We use Sakai as our online learning environment.
Okay, very advanced, yeah.
And we try and make everything that we do open source. We're fully committed to open source. And we're fully committed to open content and open learning. And we've just established an open content repository where we're hoping academics will go and share their teaching. And we're encouraging them to do that at the moment. And we do huge research programs on access and use across South Africa. So UCT's leading in various areas. We've got established researchers that are doing very good work, trying to improve access and improve use of computers across the country. So we have a number of other big institutions in South Africa also doing excellent work. But one of the nice things about coming here to Escalite or to any other overseas conference is we see that we're actually doing a pretty good job. One of our biggest constraints has been bandwidth. I suppose it's really two, it's access and bandwidth. So virtual worlds is one thing that we haven't really gone into, but pretty much everything else in terms of blogs, wikis, all the social media tools, those are in Sakai.
Okay, well, that's interesting. We just heard in a paper previous to yours that Second Life was a bit old-fashioned for some people, so don't worry about the virtual worlds anyway. You know, you're ahead of the pack there. Sorry, go on.
We just skipped the virtual worlds. Yeah. That'll be absolutely fine.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so mobile delivery of educational programs, higher education programs, using mobile devices is an important issue. And are we talking here about delivering them on a phone bandwidth rather than Wi-Fi? Are these the sorts of issues you're dealing with?
Yeah, what we've done with mobile is we're trying to explore the use of podcasts and mobile. And it's not the easiest combination, it seems. So it has been used, but that's something we're developing at the moment. What we've also done is a kind of frequently asked question tool that's linked in with our Sakai iteration, where students can be out wherever they are 24 hours and have a question that they want to ask their lecturer.
Oh, okay.
And they can key in their course code and they can actually ask the lecturer the question through their mobile. So they don't have to go and find a computer and they'll get the reply.
Right, okay.
So this is something we've developed, a sort of a dynamically frequently asked questions. So it's dynamic in the sense they get a response and they get feedback and and their peers can see the questions.
Okay. And they're guaranteed to get a response within a certain amount of time?
It's usually course related. So for example, one of the pilots was in information systems. and the lecturer was fully committed to make sure that they would respond within a certain time so that there wasn't that sort of lack of motivation if students didn't get a response. And then all the questions are on the website, are on the course site.
Oh, okay.
So students can go back and reflect on what's happened on other people's questions, and it's been a really effective tool.
Okay, sounds interesting. And the actual paper that you were talking, you were delivering today was really about the innovations grants, a series of innovations grants. What are some of the buzzy, kind of cool innovations that you've given out money for recently?
Well, to be honest, our emphasis is not entirely on the coolest and buzziest.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Really on what enhances the teaching and learning and
right.
the technology solutions that help the teaching challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes those aren't the most interesting things. That sometimes it might very well be that a teacher is exploring an interactive wiki as a way of incorporating video and incorporating sites into a wiki. And for them, that's very innovative. For people in the technological world, well, that's been done before.
Mm-hmm.
But in the context of the course, in the context of our situation, that's
okay.
unique and innovative.
Yeah,
so.
yeah. And what, in your context, what makes for a successful innovator has been something you've been looking at?
I think the key aspect that we look at when we get applications for these grants, well, the two things. The first thing we're very critical about is how it's embedded in the teaching. So
mm-hmm.
The applicants have to make a very strong case that whatever they are creating is being used properly in the teaching. So it's not just a cool add-on DVD or a cool add-on video that students could maybe watch. It needs to be part of the teaching.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then the other thing is also that it can be sustained. So they need to make a very strong case that, yes, they're innovating, but they will hand that over to somebody else, or it'll be part of the course, it'll be integrated into the course, and it will be continued. It's not just a once-off. So those are key aspects, and it seems to have worked as they have been sustained very well.
Okay, and what's the kind of level of take up of technology across the university? Are your educators and lecturers there reasonably kind of ahead of the pack in terms of technology?
Yeah, we have a case of about 80% of the courses at our institution that are on Vula, which is our iteration of Sakai.
Mm-hmm.
What we find is there's a big range in use. So most academics will just use it for administration,
yep.
but I think that's pretty much the case everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And then we'll get the wonderful innovators who are really thinking about how they can make the site interactive and thinking of clever ways of drawing the students into interaction. But so there's a big uptake in a very basic way, but not in a very deep interactive way.
Okay, and so, what's your big challenge in the coming year? What's the big challenge or the big project you're going to be working on?
Yeah, my big project is the open content site at UCT.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that sounds very interesting. Yeah,
we launched the site in February this year, and at the moment we have around about 90 resources, which sort of equates to around about 310 downloadable items.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a range of resources from books to entire books to podcasts to some lecture notes.
Mm-hmm.
And my job is now to create awareness to across departments, try and get people to add their resources.
Yep.
And that's quite a big job. It's a change of mindset. It's a way of making people realize that their teaching and learning is stuck away somewhere and can actually get out there and make a difference, not only to their colleagues being aware
mm-hmm.
of what they're doing across UCT, but also across universities in South Africa and across the world, and especially across Africa. That's important to us, that we can actually share some of these teaching and learning resources. NGOs is also another market, non-governmental organisations.
Okay,
sorry,
yeah.
South African jargon probably.
No. Australian as well, okay. Probably universal, I think,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
Because we'd like to make an impact in society as well. It's knowledge is made in universities, and it should be shared with the world. It shouldn't be kept behind closed doors up on the side of Table Mountain.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is part of the kind of the worldwide open access to research agenda. And you've had a reasonable amount of take-up. I think you said you had about 80% of the people who've received your grants are willing to share their material under Creative Commons license.
Well, this is what we've now put in as almost a clause when people apply for the grants, is if you apply for this grant, are you willing to make it an open part of open content? Mm-hmm. Are you willing to put a Creative Commons license on it and make it an open education resource? And in some cases, we know that that's not appropriate, especially sort of patient filming, those kinds of things where there are ethical reasons. But in many cases, people are very keen to do this, and this is a great way of really extending a very small grant, actually, to make it actually useful to potentially hundreds of people. Mm. So a teaching resource that would be stuck away suddenly is put into open content and gets 400, 500, 600 hits. People actually looking at it that wouldn't have seen it before. So that's the challenge.
It sounds very exciting, and we hope you come back to AskLite next year and give us some report on how it's fared. Thanks very much for talking to us. I've been talking to Glenda Cox from the University of Cape Town. It's Ian Green, Between the Buttons.
Thanks, Ian. So what people not keen.